tandem, une vie en tandem, une vie en tandem, une vie en tandem.
Sont si fragiles de la porcelaine. Laissez-y, est une urbaine, mais je préfère les regarder dorer sous le soleil. Fermant les yeux, j'écoute le casque à fond des décibels. Cette musique rétroactive, je fais les plus beaux rêves.
Seul le soir est-ce une drogue et je rêve, je saigne, je crève, je l'aime. Quand je ferme les yeux, mes oreilles sont des paraboles intentionnées, son visage dessiné, animé par l'envie d'extérioriser. Elle se réchauffe contre moi, c'est une cheminée. Décompression totale dans maison de campagne, piscine, plongeoir, tennis, peignoir.
Tu sais, pensif et si loin, jamais aimer. Tout semble trop court, j'ai peur de tout perdre quand elle pleure de bonheur.
Et que la lumière s'allume, car l'amour court après les hommes chaque jour.
Entends-tu le chant des hommes qui courent après l'amour? Ce bruit sourd résonne nuit après nuit, jour après jour. Entends-tu le chant des hommes qui courent après l'amour? Le bruit sourd résonne nuit après nuit, jour après jour.
That was Les Chants des Hommes, or something like that, by TTC. Before that was Drugs Are Vicious by Young Stroke. And the time is 11:04. You're listening to KVMR FM Nevada City, KCPC Camino Placerville, currently being simulcasted on Spaz Radio at spaz.org. I'm the Mole, and this show is called The Mole Hole. For their support, KVMR would like to thank the Old 5 Mile House Restaurant and Bar, hosting Irish Pub Night every Thursday this week, featuring Auburn's Starry River Kaylee Band from 6 to 9 p.m. featuring Catalonian food in June and introducing new wild game dishes, including elk, osso buco, bison, bourguignon, pheasant au morel. TheOld5MileHouse.com is where you can find more info on that. And Automotive City is serving Nevada County since 1997. It's a fully equipped automotive service and repair facility, and is a smog test and repair facility servicing most makes and models. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30, Saturday by appointment. You can call them at 530-732-5220. And if you like, you can give me a call in the studio at 530-265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. And now, I'm very excited to introduce you to Dave Cat. I was watching a TV show a few months ago called My Strange Addiction, and the episode featured this man, Dave Cat, who was involved in a romantic relationship with a lifelike but lifeless sex doll. That is an anatomically correct, life-sized figure of a woman. Dave Cat considered this object to be his wife. He is in love with it. He has conversations with it. And he's not afraid to share his story with the world. So, without further ado, it's time for an
exclusive interview
with Dave Cat. Why are you called Dave Cat?
Well, there's multiple reasons, but the two main ones. One, I don't really like my actual family name. It's not, there's a long story. I won't go into it. But two, I think it's, you know, really important to, like, set oneself apart from the pack, as it were, and, like, kind of make a distinctive image for yourself. I love cats, and, you know, it kind of made sense. There used to be a video game that I play a lot back in 1987 called R-Type. And, you know, how, like, when you play video games, you can, like, put in three letters for your initials, you know, and you hit a high score. R-Type lets you have seven spaces, so I don't know what inspired me to put Cat after Dave, but there it is, and it stuck.
I'm really excited to speak with you. I know you were a little bit hesitant at first, kind of worried that I might be, you know, making fun of you or something, and I just want to assure you again that I'm casting no judgments, and I have no intention of making fun of you. I'm just really fascinated with your story, and I think I identify with you to a degree. I just watched the movie Her, where the lead character falls in love with an artificial intelligence. Did you see that?
I have not yet seen that, but everybody's like saying, oh, go see Her. It's right up your alley.
Another movie that you made me think of was Lars and the Real Girl, where Ryan Gosling has a relationship with a real doll, as you do. Did you see that one?
Yes. I thought that was actually really well done for what it was.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised with it.
Cool. So you live in Detroit, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're how old?
Well, I'll be 42 this year.
And what is your job?
Well, I actually do data entry.
Okay.
I've actually, it's something that I'm actually reasonably good at, so I'm actually quite proud of what I do.
Okay. So I heard about you, as a lot of people did, from the television show My Strange Addiction. How did you get involved in that?
Someone's handlers basically had, I guess, been doing, searching for, like, okay, what kind of crazy, strange, unusual kind of relationships can we find? And, maybe somebody had talked to someone else and, like, told them, hey, you gotta Google this guy, he's, like, married to a doll. They found my, website and kind of went there.
How many years ago was that?
That was, Jesus, now I'm trying to remember. I want to say that was, because we've been on a lot of television shows.
Oh.
I want to see 2010.
Okay. Do you agree that the adjective strange applies to your relationship?
See, that's the thing. It's like, I don't mind the word strange overall, because, I mean, normal, quote-unquote, and strange, quote-unquote, are like variables. I mean, so someone strange can be someone else normal, as you know. kind of a, like a sensationalist context. I mean, like, again, look at the weirdo who's married to a doll or whatever. It's not traditional, but no, it's not harmful.
Yeah. The doll, her name is Shidore, right? The one that...
Yeah, sure.
How long now have you been in a relationship with her?
We've been together since July of 2000.
Okay.
We're heading up quickly on our 15th.
Wow. In the show, you say that you considered her your synthetic girlfriend, and then at some point decided that she was your wife. Was there a turning point? Was there a proposal?
You know, it's odd. The very first time she showed up on my doorstep, I had given her the equivalent of a wedding ring. It was my old mood ring. And she had also gotten the green rosary that she wears all the time. Back then, I think I was more in the context of saying, okay, well, this is my synthetic girlfriend, but I'm still kind of looking for an organic girlfriend. But as years have gone by, I've basically realized that, you know, I'm not going to be looking for that sort of thing as far as like an organic girlfriend. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of mistakes could be made by either party. So it's... there is no one defining moment that said, okay, she's gone from girlfriend to wife. I think at one point I had made up like one of those like online marriage certificates or whatever, but I don't really think that counts. Well, doesn't really.
I was hoping you would have had a wedding. That would be cool.
That would have been nice, but that would entail like actually us getting out to some place like for one doll friendly and another, We live in a place that has steps, and carrying like 80 pounds down a flight of steps is not something that's really recommended unless you're an expert.
So your fascination with mannequins began as a child, right?
Yeah, more or less. Pre-puberty.
Can you talk about that more, what your attraction was and how that played out?
Well, it was... the idea of, like, being interact with someone that wasn't judgmental and, well, in the case of mannequins, always beautiful, and just the sense of artifice that they convey, well, obviously that's all they are, artificial. I've always been fascinated by artifice because I've always been really in line with the concept of, like, something that's like real, like organic, but, you know, doesn't carry the same risks. Or the analogy I always use is, like, if you like flowers, but you're allergic to them, can't really have organic flowers in your home, get synthetic ones.
What kind of risks do you see associated with organic relationships?
Well, having been in a couple myself, it's like the organics are unpredictable. I mean, every single organic person, like yourself, myself, anyone, is unpredictable. I obviously try for a level of consistency, but obviously, you can't be 100% all the time. And the person that you meet and date is not necessarily going to be that person from start to finish. People change, evolve, or devolve. And, I mean, the relationship I had, for instance, back in 2004, let's just say that. To conduct a long story, I had actually gotten into a relationship with an organic glass that she was a mutual friend of one of my friends. It wasn't a romantic relationship, but she ended up living here at the apartment, and then we ended up getting a house. And she was telling me, oh, yeah, you're my best friend, this, that, the other thing. It turns out that she was not only a pathological liar, but also a coke addict. So, and the thing is, it's just like, when you meet someone, obviously they're not going to say, oh, by the way, I happen to lie a lot, and I can't stop myself. Also, I love drugs. You know, that's not obviously a selling point. So with organics, you aren't entirely sure what you get. The synthetics, what you see is what you get.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of risks involved with dealing with other humans. I see what you mean now. But
yeah.
Don't you think that risk is sort of what makes the reward of a positive relationship more valuable?
Well, you could say that. It depends on what your viewpoint is. I'm the sort of person where it's just like, for instance, if I'm like buying a house or buying a car or some major thing or getting into some major situation where this is something life-changing. I mean, again, another analogy would just be getting a car. I don't really want to be spending a good lot of time looking for this car or that car, or like spending like 2 to 4 months making comparisons. I want to like basically leave my house, say, okay, that's the car I want, and have it be absolutely perfect for me or as near as, you know. And the thing is, when you date, obviously you're going to be dating and you're not going to find that exact perfect person the very first time you go out. And people don't really want to consider that it's just like it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of money and it takes a huge amount of emotion, unless you're not investing any emotion, in which case you really shouldn't be dating. So I guess you could say the challenge is worth it, but again, it depends on how you view things. It's, you know, I don't want to be like 50, 60, 70 years of age still looking for that right person or just settling for someone, you know, or being deceived again. You know, it's, no one should really have to put up with any form of deception, really, especially in the context of like in a romantic relationship. It's not really worth it. You're putting yourself out there, you're putting your heart on your sleeve metaphorically, and then basically someone's just using you to their advantage. I mean, that's no way to live, really.
Yeah, it's definitely, it can be risky, like you said.
Yep.
Going back to My Strange Addiction, the show says that within hours of the filming, you ordered a second doll.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a secret.
Oh.
But it's basically, they had said, well, what do you think you're going to do in the future there, Dave? I said, well, I'm going to try to go through with my plan of like getting 8 dolls. For comparison reasons.
8?
And, 8, yes. I figured that that's the maximum amount I could actually fit in the apartment without, like, running out of space for myself.
What do you mean, comparison purposes?
Like, well, not a lot of people know this, but there's about, like, 30 different doll companies across, I want to say, 5 or 6 different countries. And one of the reasons I have a blog is to basically introduce people to the concept of dolls and artificial companions. And say, okay, well, this doll from this company is similar to that doll from that company, different from another doll from another company, etc.
How many dolls do you have at this point?
3. I have Shidori Kuroneko from Abyss Creations. I have Elena Vostrakova, who is a doll from Anatomical Doll, a company from Russia. And now I've got Muriel Noonan, who is a doll from Textile Doll, a company that's just sprung up in Latvia, of all places. And she arrived at her home in March.
Hmm. So can you describe the dynamic of your relationships? Like, Shidori, you consider your wife. Are the others wives as well, or something different?
Well, I will only ever have one wife, and that's going to be Shidori. I mean, I guess that's where I draw my personal line. Shidori is my wife. Elena, technically speaking, is our mistress. Shichan and I both share her. And Muriel is the flatmate. We don't really know exactly what her relationship is because I honestly didn't expect to be getting her. But basically things like went through on a positive context for me. And I was just like, oh, okay, right, I'll get another doll from this company. So Elena's personality is still being worked out and her relationship with us is pretty solid. She's the mistress. She augments the relationship that Shidori and I have. Muriel, like I said, we're not sure what she does. We like her. She's the flatmate. Ask again in a year.
Okay. So you conversate with the dolls. Do they converse with each other?
I expect they do. I expect it's a lot more intimate, for lack of a better term, than when I'm around. That's the thing, too. It's just like a lot of people don't really realize that a lot of it is tongue-in-cheek, the way I view my dolls. It's just like there is a serious part of me that, yes, it's like I am in love with Shidori. She is my wife. She is my partner. I'm in love with Elena and Muriel, too, in a different context. But,
yeah.
But then there's also the part where it's just like, yes, they are dolls, and I am making personalities for them. I think that's what a lot of people find unusual or strange about it. It's like you taking a sex doll and like treating it like a person. You know, it shows the lack of imagination on their part. And
right.
It just seems natural to me to treat you know, something that is shaped like a human being, like a human being.
Have you ever had an argument with one?
You know, it's funny because Shidona was actually asked that on her Formspring a couple of years ago. And I think her answer was something along the lines of, yeah, we have had arguments, but they were so long ago we can't even remember what they were about, which, you know, it's what any good relationship should be like. Don't go to bed angry.
You're listening to my conversation with Dave Catt, who is in a dedicated romantic relationship with a doll. I hope you're finding it as fascinating as me. This is The Mole Hole on KVMR FM Nevada City. And now we will continue with the second half of the
exclusive interview
with Dave Catt. Do you have human friends?
Oh, many. Quite a few.
How do they interact with your dolls and you?
Well, I have two sets of friends. I have idolater friends, and I have non-idolater friends, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Idolater friends? Or what? Say that.
Yes. Basically, a term that I'm really trying to shoehorn into the popular vernacular is idolater. That's I-D-O-L-L-A-T-O-R. And idolater is a person that may not necessarily have a doll, but thinks the idea of dolls as, well, in general, not just companions, but just dolls are a really neat idea. So you don't have to have a doll to be an idolater, but it helps.
Got it.
As we say. But, so yeah, people, you know, who don't have their own doll, all my all friends that actually, that I hang out with pretty much every Saturday and have been doing so for the past, like, 15 years, you know, they think that they're pretty cool. As a matter of fact, two of them helped me get Elena back home from Chicago Airport, because that's where she was delivered. They, you know, think it's a little unusual, but they realize that, you know, I'm an unusual person, so they're just like, yeah, this is what he's into, you know, whatever. So,
well, how about your parents? Are your parents living?
My mom, when she was alive, was of the mindset that, well, I would rather you have an organic girlfriend, but, you know, this is something that is making you happy, then by all means, go for it. So she had no issue with Shidore at all. My father, on the other hand, refuses patently to talk about dolls or gynoids or robots or anything. He refuses to acknowledge they exist. It's out of his scope, and moreover, he doesn't want it to ever be in his scope. But you can't please everyone, I suppose.
Have you, like, taken Shidore for Thanksgiving or anything with your family?
No. I would actually like, it's been instances where my father's come over and I've had like one of the lasses out on the couch or whatever, and he will just not look at her or make eye contact with her. It's somewhat amusing, but it's mostly sad, I think.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what if you came in and a friend of yours was cheating with one of your dolls?
Well, they wouldn't be my friend.
Yeah. You'd be pretty upset.
Yes.
So you said that you're no longer considering a human companion at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing I'm really pursuing. I mean, if the right woman came along, I'd give it some thought, but, you know, she'd have to be extraordinarily open-minded, especially considering, you know, the synthetics in my life. But it's...
Yeah.
Nothing where I'm, like, actively pursuing some girl. It's time-consuming, and it's just, you know, finding the right person and then just having in the back of my mind, which would happen, it's just like, okay, well, at what point is she going to, like, become someone that I didn't meet? At what point is she going to reveal her true face and say, oh, well, you know, I'm just doing this to, like, get to know you, or I'm just doing this to basically, you know, further my own ends, whatever they may be. As that's happened.
On My Strange Addiction, the psychiatrist says the longer this sort of synthetic relationship persists, the more difficult it will be to relate to a real person.
He's both right and he's not right, because it depends on the person. Not all idolaters are the same. There are quite a few of my colleagues that have actually been married even long before they had a doll, and the marriage has ended in divorce. There are other idolaters that I've known personally that have basically never really been married, and they were looking for the right woman, but as they get older, it's like, I mean, obviously you don't want to find someone with their own amount of baggage, and as you get older, that's, you know, near impossible. So the thing is, I think what a lot of people don't really consider is that there are a lot of idolaters that, you know, don't necessarily want to be in a relationship with an organic partner because, you know, maybe in the back of their mind, they're just like, well, at what point is this going to go wrong? You know, with a doll, basically, you know, there's little, very little margin for error.
It comes back to security.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to ask you about next is in the show. Again, you mentioned, you know, your reasons for pursuing the synthetic relationship, or, you know, security, comfort, and lack of loneliness.
Yes, exactly.
And so I'm wondering if you have ever had a pet.
I've not had enough pets. Let's just say this. I remember having 3 goldfish, and of course, if you have a goldfish, that's like not really having a pet at all. A hermit crab, some snakes, and a guinea pig. And the one pet that I truly had connected with was my cat Stardust, which is the sort of name that you expect out of, like, you know, like a 10-year-old, but, well, what do you expect? And this is back when I was living with my parents, and the thing is, my father didn't like cats. So, you know, it would be great and whatnot for the day, but at the end of the day, when all of us were asleep, my dad would take Stardust down to the basement and lock the door. And so, of course, trying to sleep when you hear a cat howling his little heart out and to be led upstairs to where the people and the love was is, you know, nothing anyone should have to put up with, unless, of course, you hate cats, in which case I hate you. You know, and it's, I currently live in a place that doesn't allow pets, which really sucks. But it's just, you know, maybe I didn't have enough pets. Maybe I didn't have enough opportunities for pets. I guess on the opposite side of the coin, when I first moved out, I was living with a friend who had 6 cats. So that was almost too much cat.
So what a lot of people that are listening probably want to know is, do you have sex with the dolls?
Yes.
And if you can explain without being too explicit for the radio, how does it work?
Well, one has to have quite a bit of patience and quite a bit of lube. Let's just say this. Between Shidore and Elena, Shidore still has kind of somewhat stiff joints. Her recent body was purchased back in 2010, so her joints are still somewhat stiff. She's a little better for posing than Elena is. Elena, I had made with loose joints. Well, they were supposed to be slightly loose, but they ended up, like, basically almost all going loose, like about maybe a month of her moving in. And Elena is probably better for making love because of her looseness. She's more flexible, more pliable, that sort of thing. And plus, her spine is more built like an organic human's. So there's been pictures I've seen of, like, fellow idolaters who have, like, you know, basically every single doll, pretty much for most of the companies, has, like, a hole in the back of their neck for, like, an eye bolt for, like, hanging them up for, like, dressing, that sort of thing. And some of the more enterprising idolaters will, like, use that eye bolt to, like, suspend their dolls from the ceiling with a chain, that sort of thing. And that's the sort of thing I'd be doing if I weren't renting. But it's, let's just say it takes a bit of patience. And, again, you will need lube, and it feels very, very, very close to the real thing. It's very satisfying, let's just say that.
Where do you see your relationship with the dolls in 10 years from now?
See, that's the sort of question I wouldn't have known exactly how to answer 10 years ago, but in 10 years, I hope to have more dolls. But the thing is, it's my relationship with Shidore will remain unchanged. That's a guarantee. We both have wedding bands, matching wedding bands. And every year we celebrate in either a major or a minor way. It's mostly been minor because of me being in and out of jobs. But we always celebrate our anniversary together. And it's just, I mean, the simple fact that I know that she'll always be there for me no matter what, if I've got a job, if I don't have a job, if we're living with my parents, if, you know, we've got our own place, that sort of thing, and she's non-judgmental, and she's beautiful, and she's wonderful, and she's a creative muse, I mean, not to sound corny about it, it's priceless. That sort of thing is priceless. That's the sort of thing that every relationship, whether it's with a doll or with an organic, that's the ideal. That's the goal. So in 10 years' time, like I said, hopefully a couple more dolls will be joining us. What their relationship to us will remains to be seen. But, I mean, the core of Dave Cat and Shirore, that's not changing.
Speaking of the future,
we like it.
Speaking of the future, you mentioned gynoid technology. Can you talk about that?
Sure. The whole doll thing is really, I guess, the tip of the iceberg of what we do here at Deafening Silence Plus, which is what I call the flat. It's really what I'm interested in is gynoids. Humanoid robots, by and large, most people know them as androids. Can't speak today. I'm still off work, so like my brain is expired. Let's just say that.
You're doing
An android,
fine.
Technically speaking, is a humanoid robot in the shape of a male. A gynoid, technically speaking, is a humanoid robot in the shape of a female. So, for when I'm trying to get people to like realize that, but it's slow going as you'd expect.
Got it.
So, if it were up to me, my ideal partner would be a gynoid, because dolls are great and all that. But dolls can't move by themselves. They can't speak by themselves. You know, with the social stigma of them being quote unquote sex objects, you know, it's not as if like I can take Shichan to a concert or a film or to the park or whatever without having people, you know, stare or whatever, or worse. I mean, obviously you'd have that with like an android or a gynoid as a partner, but at least, you know, you wouldn't have to carry them out. So, I mean, the ideal really is to have, and this is why I use terms like synthetic and organic. I believe at some point in not that far of a future, we will actually have humanoid robots that are almost indistinguishable from flesh and blood human beings. And they're going to be human as well in their own way. That's why I think it's important to make the distinction between a synthetic human, a human made in a factory or a lab or wherever, versus an organic human, which would be, you know, people like you and me. So, I mean, that's really the goal. And really why Shichan and I do these interviews is to, like, try to get people used to the concept of, like, organic-synthetic relationships. There's this fantastic book. I don't know if you've read this yourself, Jonah, or even heard about it. It's called Love and Sex with Robots by David Levy.
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. It was written around 2005 by a futurist slash mathematician slash chess maestro named David Levy. And he predicted that, you know, basically within, I think he said 40 to 50 years, more humans would be having relationships, romantic and otherwise, with robots. I would like to believe it's 20 to 30, but I'm a realist. I know it's probably not going to happen in my lifetime, but it is going to happen. He had cited very succinctly, well, actually not succinctly at all, he'd actually done quite a bit of research about the ways that people could fall in love with robots are awfully similar to the ways that humans fall in love with other organic humans. And basically, if you have an open enough mind and enough imagination and the robot is built to some degree of verisimilitude, it can actually be quite easy to fall in love with a synthetic human.
You know what, this makes me wonder if, speaking of artificial intelligence, if the artificial intelligence becomes realistic enough, would that become then a turnoff? Because then that sort of unpredictable quality might enter back into the picture.
Yeah, they could leave or whatever. It's like if they were truly that independent, they could have enough independent thinking to say, oh, right, I really shouldn't be in a relationship with you. I should be off, like, hiking in the Himalayas or whatever. Yeah, exactly. There's a fine line with that, but I'd rather take my chances with an artificial human than with an organic one. But yeah, that's going to be a ways away, so I'm not too worried.
So before we go, you mentioned that people can speak with Shidore online.
Yes. She has her own Twitter feed, which is at Leahtype. That's L-E-A-H-T-Y-P-E. There's a story behind that. Basically, when Abyss Creations first started making real dolls, they had various configurations, and the Phase 4 Body 2 configuration was known as Leia. The Leia type. She's also got her own FormSpring account. FormSpring is no longer called FormSpring, from what I understand. It's called Spring.me or something like that. Nevertheless. And then she's got a Tumblr that she runs like every weekend called Synthetic Weekend. There's a link to it on her Twitter feed. So it's an exercise in having her voice. Since she can't physically speak, she can at least speak through the internet. And it's fun giving her own unique personality and her voice and, you know, reacting to, well, people's reactions of her.
Any other online forums that you have that you'd like to plug?
I don't think I've mentioned Shouting to Hear the Echoes enough. One of these days I'm going to get like a more concise URL for it, but it's on the list of things to do. But if you type in Shouting to Hear the Echoes, Dave Cat, into your favorite search engine, I'm sure it'll be like one of the top three hits, more than likely.
Okay.
And as far as like an online forum where you can meet other idolaters, the one I'm a semi-regular member of is Our Doll Community. It's basically, I can't remember when it was established. It was established recently. It's a splinter group from a previous forum. Nevertheless, it's filled with all sorts of information about, like, you know, various doll companies, the dolls that those companies make, you know, where to buy clothes, how to buy clothes, women's sizes, why are they such a mystery? And, of course, plenty of photos if you're into taking them or, you know, just looking at them, all that and more. And it's free to join Our Doll Community.
Once again, that was my interview with Dave Cat. I hope you enjoyed it. Still to come on the show, we've got a bunch more cool music and the Spooky Stories segment. A couple more local events coming up. The Curious Forge at 12400 Loma Rica Drive in Grass Valley is holding a beginning MIG welding class on Saturday, June 28th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Free registration is required through the website at curiousforge.org. And teenagers between 13 and 18 years old are invited to join an anime and manga otaku club at the Royce branch of the Grass Valley Library. The club will meet Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. at the library at 207 Mill Street. There's more info on that at mynevadacounty.com/nc/library. And next, this is The Raven by Tunde Olaniran.
Crack whips, you talk slick, no third chance. This whole vibe, one night wish. Chance of luck you might fight with. Thank you all to this rhyme bill. Time to the serious.
Give me any test, I can make the grade. Check the interior, I'm better made. Used to be a boy, I'd rather be a mage. Possession is a ritual, the raven's at the cage. Give me any test, I can make the grade. Check the interior, I'm better made. Used to be a boy, I'd rather be a mage. Possession is a ritual, the raven's at the cage. They come to test my interior.
Red alert. Red, red, red alert.
That was Moisture by EEPROM. Before that was Qbert with Interspace Dental Commander. And before that was First Things Last by Daddy Kev featuring Micah 9. And now, I hope the kids are tucked in because it's time for a segment we call
Spooky Stories.
This one comes to us from some guy on the streets of San Francisco, and he's being interviewed by the lovely Krista Fatka, whose birthday begins in 10 minutes. Thank you, Krista, and happy birthday.
My brother was this around a punk rock club. So this part, she ran away from her husband, and she was down at Telegraph. And, well, I should probably disguise this a little bit. But, you know, basically, at a certain point, like, because I knew she was, I invited her to my pirate radio show because I thought that'd make her feel better because she was pretty suicidal. And I took her hands. She said, I don't usually touch people. So I held her hands and suddenly she felt all this light energy because I asked her after what she experienced. And then later on, she saw me as the Egyptian goddess of justice. And I said, oh, you saw my higher nature because I've been dealing with this two-spirit thing, you know. And there was another suicidal girl. She was like, I'm a witch. They were like three of them. They drew a line, they split their wrists. And she was like, she's looking up and says, oh, you see an angel. I've seen the angel of death. You know, you got a choice. And I said, you can go, you know. You know, if you obviously slit your wrist, party wants to go, right? But you got to make a decision. You want to go or you want to stay? I don't want to go. Okay, well, you better tell the angel that.
And you saw the angel.
Oh, yes.
What did it look like?
Oh, it was kind of We had some wings, but it was not totally white wings. There was some black to it too as well. Yeah. So.
Does it have a face?
Yeah.
This looks like a human with wings.
Yeah, I have no idea if it, what it was in car, but the fact that I saw an angel and she knew that she knew what I was seeing, you know. You know. Yeah. I don't know if all the details corresponded, but right. It was enough of it that was, because she said later on that it was like, God, that really blew her mind that I saw what she was seeing.
Yeah.
Spooky stories.
I hope that wasn't too scary for anyone. If you have any spooky stories to share with us on The Mole Hole, you can send me an email at jonah.themole@gmail.com or call me in the studio now at 530-265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. Play a few more tunes before I go. This is Wearin' My Chain, Though by Lil Ugly Mane.
Thank you. about a glass of champagne now? Would you like another cigarette, darling? Well, darling, all I can say is that I have never been known as a man about the house. But I'm the next best thing. A man about town. A boulevardier. A sinner. Who knows how to order a dinner. Whose rule is drink up when your spirits are down. I collect old china and first editions. I have few illusions and fewer inhibitions. Then you appear, a breath of April air. And somehow it's gone, my savoir-faire. Yes, I have places to go and things to do. I don't sit and sigh in vain. Yet my heart is full when I offer you roses and champagne. We meet and we talk of exotic things. Your eyes are a gay refrain. Your thanks are a smile when the waiter brings the roses and champagne. It's a pretty masquerade before you. You could guess the truth with one look. I'm aching to say I adore.
You've been listening to The Molehole on KVMR FM Nevada City, KCPC Camino Placerville. For their support, KVMR would like to thank Douglas Automotive, locally owned at 420 Gold Flat Road in Nevada City, where owners Alex and Summer Douglas offer comprehensive automotive care and would like to thank their customers for their patronage. Douglas Automotive can be reached at phone number 265-5120. The time is 11:59, and we're about to wrap things up to make way for Angel and Red Eye Radio. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Till then, you can listen to the online version of The Molehole on Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. at spaz.org. If you want to contact me, you can email jonah.themole@gmail.com. I wish you a wonderful night. I love you. Goodbye.